We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, it has been 20 years ago this month that Palminteri led the 2002 Notre Dame baseball team to the College World Series. And that, of course, at that time ended a 45-year drought from Omaha for the Fighting Irish. And Paul left a few years later. He takes over at LSU, wins a national championship in 2009, and five overall trips to the College World Series at LSU. But he is with us right now. He, like a lot of the rest of us, was watching on TV over the weekend, very tense down in Knoxville, Tennessee, a place that you have some experience with. Paul, first of all, it's always great to talk to you. Usually we have to do this on the phone, so it's kind of cool to actually get to see your face this time.
Yeah, it's good to see you again, Sean. Of course, we got to see each other not too long ago at the reunion up in South Bend. But it's great to be with you today to talk about the Irish and the College World Series. Doesn't that just sound great to see, have those words all together?
Man, it does. And, nail biters over the weekend with Link Jarrett and his Irish taking down the number one Volunteers. So just maybe kind of start with some of your thoughts on seeing this Notre Dame team, a place that is still so near and dear to you, Notre Dame, seeing Link and taking these Irish back to Omaha again 20 years later.
Well, obviously, I was watching very intently, like all Irish fans. I followed the team very closely this year, actually over the last couple of years, even though I was still working last year. I went up to South Bend, Sean. I think it was for the Cincinnati football game, if I'm not mistaken, early October. And I went to visit my son, Nick, who works at Notre Dame, and got to see my grandson and daughter-in-law. And we were taking a walk around campus on Friday afternoon, or actually around noontime. And my phone buzzed with a text message, and it was from Link. And basically he was saying, "Hey, I heard you're on campus. Come by practice today." So I said, "Okay." And he told me the time. So when I got there, to my surprise, he wanted me to talk to the team, to address the team.
Yeah.
I thought that was so nice of him to do that. And it was really a special moment for me. And let me tell you what I told the kids, okay? I told them, first of all, this is the first time that I've talked to a Notre Dame team in 16 years.
Wow.
I left 15 years earlier and, I've been at LSU all these years. But it was special for me to talk to the kids that made up the Notre Dame team, because I know how special those young men are to get in, to gain admission into the university, to go to Notre Dame with dealing with the weather issues and some of the other things that you have to deal with in baseball. I knew something about the makeup of those players, even though I didn't know them personally. So it was great to stand there in front of them and to talk to them. And I told him, I said, "Look, I followed your team very closely last year while we were getting beat in the Super Regional in Knoxville. I still was watching your games on television that weekend. And it reminded me so much of our 2000 team it was our 2000 team, right, Sean, when we went to Starkville?"
Yes.
And,
yep.
And, I said, "It reminded me so much of our 2000 team when we went to Starkville and we battled and battled so hard. We had two great victories against Tulane in come from behind fashion. We played Mississippi State in the winner's bracket game. They beat us by 7 runs. So we had to beat them twice on the last day. We beat them the first game by 7 runs, like they had beaten us. And the final game, the if necessary game, went to the bottom of the 9th inning tied, and we lost on a walk-off home run. But our players, despite the disappointment of losing the game and losing the tournament on the last day, they showed the entire country, and especially those people in Starkville, what their character was and how good of players they were and how hard they battled, to the point that when I returned to South Bend, I think I had 500 email messages from Mississippi State fans expressing their admiration for our players, for our team, for our program. So when I watched the 2021 Fighting Irish playing in Starkville, it just brought back so many memories of that unbelievable weekend back in 2000. And then I explained to the guys that although we lost that series, that regional, and although you guys lost the super regional, I know our team way back then grew from that experience so much that it gave us unbelievable confidence the next couple of years, because the core of that team in 2000 basically returned for the next couple of years. And in 2002, when they were seniors, Steve Stanley, Paul O'Toole, Andy Bushy, Matt Strickroth, all that group of guys, when they were seniors, we were able to kick in the door and get to Omaha. And they all reflected back on that experience they had in Starkville as being a key part of their development into that team. So I told them, when I looked at your team, it just reminded me so much of our team back in 2000 and the gritty attitude that they displayed, how tough they were, the composure, the poise, the ability, all those things. And I said to them, I'm going to predict that you guys are going to find a way to win this year in the postseason and make it to Omaha. I'm predicting that. And when you get to Omaha, I'll be there rooting for you.
And that is happening this week, right? Just to confirm, I was on a little text chain with some of you and your 2002 players. You're going, and sounds like at least a handful of other players are heading out to Omaha this weekend as well.
I'll be getting in there on Wednesday. My wife doesn't want to miss the opening ceremonies on Thursday.
Always
so
fun.
So I'll be there Friday, whatever time the Irish play, and I'll be wearing my Notre Dame garb to show everybody clearly who I'll be rooting for. That's for sure. And how ironic is it that they're playing Texas, who is the team that when I was at LSU that we beat for the national championship. So
that's right.
Hopefully the Irish will prevail in game one and go on through the entire week. Sean, I honestly believe they can win the whole thing.
What, TD Ameritrade Park, Paul, you know, you've been there several times, obviously. Your national championship came when it was still at Rosenblatt, but you played, you know, the College World Series once it moved down the hill to TD Ameritrade Park. And, you know, it's a big park. And it plays big, and it can affect some teams offensively. But it just seems to me that you know, this Notre Dame team is, you know, they're not power reliant like a Tennessee, for example. They hit some home runs, but they can do a lot of other things. And it seems like that's an offense that can play well to that big park. What do you think with all the experience you have there?
Well, Sean, first of all, they've changed the name of the stadium from TD Ameritrade to Charles.
And I knew that, and I keep forgetting that.
Yeah, I do too. I thought about it when you just said it, but
I think it's Charles Schwab, right?
Right. When we won the championship in 2009, the next year, 2010, was the last year of Rosenblatt Stadium. So the first year in the new ballpark was 2011. When we went there in 2013, I was pretty amazed at how big the park played. I think there were 3 home runs total hit in the tournament that year in 2013. We had the number one team in the country going into the College World Series, and we had a great team. Alex Bregman was a freshman and so forth. And the first day we played UCLA, in the afternoon game, I thought we hit four balls that would have been home runs in any park in the SEC. And only one of them went out of the ballpark. And I thought it was in the over the bullpen, and it barely scraped the fence as it got out of the park. The other three were all caught at the wall, and I thought they were long gone. We ended up losing that game to UCLA 2-1 behind Aaron Nola pitching for us. And it was a devastating loss. We ended up losing as well to North Carolina in a game. I think the score was 5-3, if I'm not mistaken. And it was another close, low-scoring game. What I realized when we played there was that you have to have speed in the outfield. You have to have guys that can cover the ground. And I think Notre Dame has that. You know, I think they've got guys that can run in the outfield, cover the ground. Myers is really good in center field. Hopefully, Cole, you know, his leg is feeling good enough that he can cover the ground out there. And Ketsy, I think, is a really good outfielder in right field. So I think that's huge. But I think the key, too, is to keep the ball down in the ballpark, get as many ground balls as you can, and let your defense play. And nobody has better infield defense than Notre Dame.
Right.
You know, it's key to throw the ball over the plate, not give them free passes. And I think that Notre Dame staff has shown that that's the way they pitch. You know, they're going to challenge the hitters and make them hit the ball and let their defense play. Offensively, the fact that Link likes to let the guys run and they occasionally hit and run and they hit in the clutch. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that they'll be fine in that ballpark. In all honesty, it plays a lot like Frank Eck Stadium can play.
Right.
Of course, it's not artificial turf, but, you know, Frank Eck Stadium can play pretty big when the wind is blowing in off Lake Michigan, especially early in the season.
Yep.
But when we went there in 2017, we took an LSU team there. And that week, the wind actually was blowing out. So it made the park really fair. And I think we hit 8 home runs while we were out there that year and made it to the finals against Florida. Unfortunately, the wind shifted those last two games and we didn't have quite the offensive firepower that we showed earlier in the tournament. But depending on how the wind blows is how the park will play. But I think Notre Dame is equipped, whether it's a low scoring game or whether it's a higher scoring game, to be able to prevail against Texas or anybody else that they play.
Sure.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Link obviously has been to Omaha as a player from back in his Florida State days, but this is his first experience as a head coach. And again, you know, 2002, you know, every coach who takes a team to Omaha, there's a first time for everybody. So, you know, what are maybe some things that a first time head coach needs to going into that environment out there?
Well, there's almost nothing you can do to really prepare even a coach for it, because it's the culmination of a dream. All of us as coaches grow up dreaming of taking a team to the College World Series. And now Link is experiencing that. You know, I've said this many times, Sean, it's no hidden fact. You know, I was able to take six teams to Omaha and win a national championship one of those years. But out of all the experiences I've ever had, taking the Notre Dame team there in 2002 will always be the highlight of my coaching career. The first time you go and to take a school and a group of kids as special as you develop there at Notre Dame will always stand out for any coach that has that opportunity to do that. And Link and I are the only, Jake Klein did it as well, but back then it wasn't quite as an exciting event as it is now.
The only modern coaches, yeah.
Yeah. So Link and I will be the only two Notre Dame baseball coaches that will have experienced that. And, you know, the magic of the name Notre Dame and the College World combined with the College World Series just makes for a really special experience for everybody. So listen, Link is, you know, he's got enough experience as a coach, and he's had the experience of playing in a great program. And the one thing you can see about this team from Notre Dame that stands out to me is their maturity and their poise and their self-confidence. And they just know how to win. You know, they remind me so much of the group of kids that I took there way back in 2002. And it really that whole time, not the 2001 team, the 99 team, and then the years after, of course. And I think these kids are going to show a lot of composure, a lot of poise, and they're going to realize, you know, that it's just a baseball game. There'll be a big crowd there, of course, and the stakes are awfully high. But they just got to do what comes natural to them, and I believe that will be good enough for them to be very successful there.
Well, when you start looking at similarities, I mean, if you look, you know, you can find similarities, but something that stands out to me is the preparation. You know, there was never a pulmonary team that wasn't prepared when they took the field. And one of the trademarks of your teams, you know, especially from an at-bat approach, at-bat to at-bat, you guys were able to adjust so much. They were so prepared, and they were able to make those adjustments over the course of the game. And I look at Link's team and his guys at the plate, they never seem to be fooled by it too much. Does that kind of strike you as well?
Very much so. First of all, not only Link, but his whole staff has been outstanding. Right. You know, Chuck Restano has done a tremendous job with the pitching staff, and Rich Wallace and the team that he put together through recruiting and the work that he's done with the players. The hitters have an unbelievable level of maturity up there at the plate. In our business, they just call those guys tough outs. You know, you have to really grind to get them out because they're going to grind right back at you. They're not just going to give away at bats. They have good eyes at the plate. They battle with two strikes. If you make a mistake, they can hurt you. You know, the double that Putz hit the other day to extend the lead was an unbelievably clutch hit. You know, little LaManna, the catcher, reminds me so much of Bob Lasani, who was my first catcher at Notre Dame. A little bit undersized, but a scrappy, hard-nosed kid. You know, probably not going to hit 400, but he's going to come through with so many clutch hits for you. You know, and they just have that makeup about them, and I'm sure that in large part it's because of the way that Link has coached the kids. They seem to have a lot of confidence in each other. You know, the coaches have a lot of confidence in the players, and the players have a lot of confidence in the coaches. And that's a magical thing, especially at a place like Notre Dame, where, you know, respect and trust are the hallmarks of what everything is about there. So, yeah, watching them at the plate and make, you know, that play that Brannigan made, the double play to end the game, it looks very routine to fans that are watching. He made it look like he was taking fungos in pregame. Mm-hmm. That's how calm and cool he was. You know, perfect mechanics, perfect throw to second base. Miller turns a double play, Putz stretches, catches the ball, just like they've probably done in practice 1,000 times.
Yeah. You know, at the end of Sunday's Super Regional clincher down there in Knoxville, you talked about that talk that you had with the team back in the fall. And the current players, I thought this was really cool. They brought this 2002 College World Series banner, that huge banner, and their pictures of it. You saw it, you know, on the end of of the TV broadcast, and they were waving that around out there. And I know you were watching. What did that mean to you to see that, Paul?
Sean, I can't even describe in words what that meant to me and to all the players from that team. That was the flag that we started every year, starting in 2002 or 2003. We hung a flag that displayed the previous year's greatest accomplishment. So we flew that flag during the 2003 season. And then the next year we flew a flag that said 2003 Big East champions and so forth down the line. So I never knew what happened to that flag, but obviously somebody took good care of it. Yeah. I understand that they kept that in their locker room all year, but when they showed on television them holding that flag in front of their team, I'm not ashamed to tell you that I lost control of my emotions. I was sitting all by myself in my little theater room here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, crying my eyes out because it meant so much to me. Not just because it was our team, but just to see that there's a group of kids that value history and tradition and celebrate history and tradition. So many times in our world today, it's all about me, 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 me. Yep. And this was a group of kids that demonstrated clearly how much they respected that group 20 years ago and the accomplishments of the program and how proud they were now to etch their names into Irish lore. And they'll become legends, you know, in 20 years from now. Hopefully a team will be holding a flag that says, you know, 2022 national champions or 2022 College World Series. It meant so much to me and to all of the players that the current players recognize those that have laid the groundwork for where they are now. Just it made us so proud, and it just overwhelmed me emotionally.
And obviously, you know, that 20-year reunion that you talked about, you guys came back to town in April and you got to, you know, not spend quite as much time with the current team anyway, but, you know, you guys threw out the first pitch and did some of that, got a little bit of interaction over there. So that had to be pretty cool for both of those teams as well.
Well, as I mentioned, Sean, I had the opportunity to speak to the team back in October. Right. And I told our players about me. I told our 2002 players about how I had spoken to the team and how much this team reminded me of them. And after we all went out to the mound to throw out the first pitch, I don't know if you noticed this, but when we came off the field, every single member of the current team shook hands with every current member of the 2002 team.
Yep.
And, you know, and I could hear some of the comments that they were saying between each other. It wasn't just a, you know, like high five, you know, and work your way through the line like at the end of a ball game. They would literally shake each other's hands, look each other in the eye, and exchange like, you know, you can do it, guys. We're proud of you. Hey, thank you for what you did for the program. You know, I mean, there was so much great interaction.
Right.
And I'll tell you, our whole 2002 team, we love watching this 2022 team play. They just remind us so much of ourselves, probably a little bit more talented than we were. They've got some real power arms, and boy, that left-hander, that young freshman Finley, that he, I mean, he's left-handed, but you know, you could close your eyes and think of Niesel and Johnson, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know, Rayo and geez, the job that Bertrand has done. I mean, they just, you know, it's a great team. And I told Link, you know, last year, and I told him again this year early, Link, that your team has the it factor. You know, in athletics, you can't define the word it. Just some people and some teams have it, and it's something special, and they have it, and it makes me so proud to see them play the game the way that they're playing it. To, you know, just me as somebody who put my heart and soul into the program for 12 years, and all those players that care so deeply about the program, to see them back doing playing the game the way that they're playing it and succeeding and going, you know, ultimately now going to Omaha, it makes our chest burst with pride.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Paul, this success is great, obviously. You know, everyone wants to get to the College World Series, but, you know, we know what comes with that. Up here, when you're talking about Northern coaches having this kind of success, you dealt with it for years before you ended up going to LSU, but you did ultimately go, and you know there's already stuff swirling around with Link Jarrett. I guess when you look at support for the program, because he has obviously shown that, you know, I think what you two both demonstrate is you can win up here, but you have to have the right person, you know, in charge up here. So what, especially as someone who has been up here a few times now, what can be done, you know, to really for the school, the, you know, the athletics to show full support for the program, you know, in terms of investing, you know, not just for this year, but going forward as well.
It's a good question, Sean. It deserves a good answer, but you know, I can't speak for the athletic administration or for the president of the university. You know, they have to make decisions every day about where to use their resources. You know, the negative is that whether it's because of the weather or the facility or whatever, but you can't classify the baseball program as a revenue producing program.
Yeah.
The difference at LSU is, you know, we had 11,000 fans a game and we generated a couple $1 million in revenue every year. So you got treated at LSU like Notre Dame basketball would be treated.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I don't think that's going to happen necessarily at Notre Dame unless, you know, they have I don't know what the word is, but, you know, somebody comes down from the heavens and tells them you better support this baseball program. Okay. Listen, when Link took over, I told Link, there's going to be some things that are frustrating about coaching at Notre Dame because it's not going to be the same playing field that you're going to be on with SEC schools or ACC schools in the South, I should say.
Right.
And, you know, their facilities are bigger. The weather's better. You know, the admission standards are looser. The cost isn't as great. I mean, there's a lot of things that you're going to have to overcome when you're at Notre Dame. But we proved we could overcome them. And now Link has proved that they could overcome them.
Yeah.
And the key is the leadership. Because, see, I wouldn't let anybody make excuses. Nobody ever heard me give excuses. And I
right.
wouldn't let the players have any excuses. And when they complained about things, I would get upset with them. And I would tell them, look, nobody put a gun to your head and told you you had to come here. You came here because of these certain factors that were important to you. Those things haven't changed just because we got a bad day of weather. We're going to have to play in cold weather or we have to drive to O'Hare Airport to fly commercially, you know, to wherever we're going. So, for you know, adjust your attitude and get your attitude in the right winning frame of mind. And I think that advice to Link, I think he really took that to heart. So now the question is, because he's done so well, will he stay? You know, I hope people aren't mad at me for leaving and going to LSU. Sean, I actually turned down a half a dozen jobs that nobody ever knew about. You know, I love Notre Dame and I had every intention of staying there my entire career. It was just that one school for me, LSU. because I had gone to school there. I met my wife here. I had a lot of friends down here in Louisiana, and South Louisiana was going through a particularly tough time because it was a year after the Hurricane Katrina had gone through and really had devastated so much of South Louisiana. And the baseball program, which had been such a huge source of pride for South Louisiana, was really kind of in the doldrums at that point. And I thought, well, if I go there and we can kind of return the program to glory, maybe that will help in the recovery down here. I know that sounds kind of silly, but what else can a baseball coach do? You know, I mean, I couldn't build hospitals for them. So that's right. It was the way I felt that I could do it. And there was a little part of me too that said, you know, can if I go out and test myself against the other teams in the SEC, which is kind of thought of as the best conference in the country, you know, could I succeed? And I needed to kind of find that out for myself. Now, the difference with Link, well, I know he's only been there 3 years, but he is in the ACC. So he is already testing himself mm-hmm. against some of the very best teams in the country, okay? So from an emotional standpoint, you know, from that standpoint, I don't think he needs to go somewhere else to prove to himself that he can do it. He can do it, okay? And he's shown that in a, you know, arguably one of the top two conferences in the country. The, you know, the question is there something out there that would lure him because, you know, there's, you know, an emotional tie to it or there's some other reason for it. Okay. I don't know what goes through Link's mind. I don't pretend to know him that well that I could tell you what he's thinking. He's never said anything to me or insinuated that he was looking to leave. I think he genuinely loves Notre Dame like I did, and he's done a tremendous job. And I hope he decides to stay there for the rest of his career. You know, but I know there are things that are frustrating. You know, people talk about the facility. You know, when I took over the program in the fall of 94, the stadium was 1 year old. Pat Murphy was the coach when they built the stadium. He stayed one more year and left for Arizona State. Okay. Mm-hmm. When I took over, that facility was considered kind of the Taj Mahal of baseball facilities in the Midwest.
Yeah.
But after that, you know, other schools started to build. Michigan built, Cincinnati built, Louisville built, who was in our conference. So, you know, it's just like when we built here at LSU, we built the stadium here. At first year was our national championship year in 2009. But other teams now have built in the SEC. And so now LSU stadium is probably middle of the pack in the SEC. Mm. Florida spent $75 million on a new stadium. Mississippi State spent $100 million.
Wow.
You know, all these unbelievable facilities are going up. So I don't know if it's the facility that is would be a concern, but there's other things that they can do, you know, like, you know, traveling to and from South Bend is really hard when you get on airplanes all the time. Maybe charter airplanes, you know, things like that are enough enticement to keep a quality coach there. You know, I didn't leave because of any of those things.
No, I just
left because of the reasons I told you. I was there for 12 years and I could have left, you know, many times, but I didn't want to. Because nothing for me compared to Notre Dame. It was just that one school. I don't know if Link has a school like that or not, you know, if that will be that attractive to him. But whatever he decides, you know, he's got to do what's best for him and his family. He's done a tremendous job there. And I think people should remember that if he does, in fact, decide to leave.
Yeah. I think that school down there in Florida could be lurking. I guess we'll find out here in the weeks to come, but hopefully big things happen in Omaha first before any of that happens. Well, that's going to be exciting to see him take on the Longhorns this week.
Sean, you know, all that talk about him going to Florida State because the news broke about the coach being let go on Friday, the day of the first super regional. It didn't seem to distract the guys from doing the job this past weekend. So hopefully all that talk will be put on the shelf. And, you know, this is a once in a lifetime experience for these kids. And, you know, I'm sure they love Link, but I don't think they're going to be overly concerned with that at this point. They just want to go to Omaha and succeed and play great. And I think they will.
Paul, it is always great to talk to you. Enjoy your trip out there. I look forward to seeing you out there. We're hopefully going to have a lot of blue and gold and green and, you know, shamrocks and all that kind of good stuff. So look forward to seeing you out there, hopefully.
Sounds good, Sean. I'm looking forward to the trip. You know, Friday is my wife's birthday, and we had planned on a little trip, you know, somewhere else to celebrate her birthday. But after the game was over, she actually came into the theater room and said, let's go to Omaha for my birthday again. You know, it's funny, when I decided to retire last July, one of the first things she said to me is, I guess we don't have to keep celebrating my birthday in Omaha anymore. And here it is, first year out. That's we're on our way back because of the Irish.
Well, and of course, Friday is also the 20-year anniversary of the comeback win over Rice. And coming up this week, I've got a three-way, I guess it's four-way, but I've got Steve Stanley, Steve Solman, Brian Stavisky, all together. We're going to relive that ninth inning. So that's going to be fun. We're going to do that on the show. So
I relive that ninth inning about every day in my mind.
I bet you do.
Special day, special day.
There's a picture that I found of you hugging Steve Stanley. You've got him kind of wrapped around the head. And I told Steve that, you know, you look like you were just holding on to him for dear life in that photo. And he wanted it to end. And unfortunately, it didn't end that day.
Well, we were losing by a run, and we were facing a really tough pitcher that had not given up a run in the entire postseason.
Yeah.
And there was one out. And when Steve hit that ball in the right center field gap and he was coming around second and I was waving him to third, I was making deals with God right there that if he's allowed to be safe here, I promise I'll never do anything wrong again the rest of my life. So when he slid into third base, the only thing I could think of was to just give him a big hug down there. Yeah. And then, of course, I told him that there's nobody in the world I would rather have up right now than Steve Solman. And he came through with the base hit up the middle. And then Brian Stavisky hit that home run, Sean, and it was against the wind in right field. And I still don't understand how that ball ever got out of the park, because he just absolutely crushed it into the wind.
Well, and that's, you know, just like you said, Justin Crowder, and this is a lefty who ends up being drafted by the Oakland A's, just like Stanley and Stavisky that same season.
Was that right?
He hadn't given up a run the whole postseason. And in a stretch of seven pitches, three batters, a triple, an RBI single, and a walk-off home run. Just so amazing the way that whole thing unfolded.
Well, I think about it all the time, and I'm grateful to and feel very blessed to have had the experience with those kids. And it's something I hold on to, and I will hold on to forever and ever and ever.
Paul, again, it is always great. I better let you get going here, and you and Karen can get packing and enjoy some gestos for her birthday on Friday as well. So,
all right, sounds good, Sean. Go Irish.